Now, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks a lot for being with us. Thanks for putting up with my coughing fit in that last segment. I was standing outside that fire on Admiral's Road last night, taking in some smoke. Well, welcome to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. How are you today?
Well, thank you. Enjoying the sunny weather.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? It's really hot today, though. I mean, this morning at I don't know, 7 o'clock, it was hot. So here we go, huh?
That's true. And having to wear the lawyer's suit rather than the preferred shorts doesn't add anything to that.
Well, hot off the press here. You've just come in with some breaking news here about Trinity Western University. What can you tell us?
Yes, there was a decision released only about an hour ago in Ontario, and it has to do with Trinity Western University's proposed law school. Trinity Western University is the law school here in the school in the Fraser Valley that wishes to open a law school, and they've had a great deal of pushback in that effort as a result of their community covenant. And the community covenant that the school has prohibits any sexual intimacy between anyone other than a man and a woman who are married.
Mm-hmm.
And the school will not admit anyone who won't sign the covenant or hire anyone. And if a person is found to breach that agreement, they're subject to discipline or expulsion from the university or being fired if you work there. So what's happened is the school's wish to open this law school. They would, if they want their graduates to be able to practice law, they need to get approval from the law societies in each province. And the law societies would govern who's allowed to practice law in that province.
Right.
Some law societies agreed to approve this university despite these discriminatory policies, but other law societies, including British Columbia and Ontario, said no. The Trinity Western University challenged in court the decision of the Ontario Law Society to refuse accreditation as a result of this discriminatory policy. And that case went to court for what's called a judicial review. And the way that works is that any time you have an administrative decision of a body like this, if a party disagrees with how the decision was made or the outcome or whether they had jurisdiction to do what they've done, they're permitted to go to court to have that reviewed to determine whether the decision was reasonable,
mm-hmm.
and whether it was in accordance with the powers of the body that made the decision. So that's what the school has done in several provinces, including in British Columbia and Ontario, where they were denied approval. And the decision, which came down an hour ago from the three-judge panel in Ontario, refused the Trinity Western University's judicial review application. And the crux of it is that they found that the law society there did have authority under their general power dealing with the public interest to refuse to grant approval to the university because of how it operates.
Wow.
The court said the reality of this is of particular importance for the LGBTQ persons because in order to attend TWU, they must sign a document in which they agree to essentially bury a critical component of their very identity by forsaking any form of intimacy with those persons with whom they wish to form a relationship. So it's a very important decision there. And the case in British Columbia is still upcoming.
Will this impact the case in British Columbia?
It may be influential. It won't bind the judge here. The Superior Court judge in British Columbia would be free to analyze it themselves. They wouldn't be bound by the Ontario decision. And there are differences. The different law societies have different statutory authority. So the judge here will need to analyze it from the point of view of the law in British Columbia, but you would certainly expect this would be influential and would be reviewed by the judge when they're reviewing the Law Society's decision here.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, so what's this going to mean for people attending law school there?
That's an excellent question. One of the points that the court in Ontario made is that the Ontario Law Society doesn't decide whether the school is allowed to form a law school. They are. The What they found, however, is the right of the Trinity Western to form a law school and have these discriminatory policies in place does not mean that the Law Society in Ontario is compelled to accredit it. So the university is free to open the school if they wish, call it a law school. Now, they need some approval from the provincial government here, but subject to that, they could do it. But that does not mean that the law societies are required to, as they described it, lend tacit approval to an institution where the discrimination is inherent in the manner in which they choose to operate their law school. So the school might be allowed to do it, it just means that the law society isn't forced to accredit it or permit their graduates to practice law in Ontario.
So if you're going to go to law school there, you might not be getting a job.
That's correct. You may be free to go there. You're free to get a degree if they get the provincial approval to do that. But it would mean that you would not be allowed to practice law in Ontario.
Let's bring Barbara into the conversation. Hi, Barbara. You're on CFAX.
Good morning. This is very discriminatory. People have a choice of many universities to go to, and they have a choice of lawyers. Your guest is anti-democracy, I would say.
Well, I don't think it's his decision, but Michael Mulligan is a lawyer, so I'll put him
on
the line with
terrible,
you.
It's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. It reduces religious freedom.
Well, that's an interesting point. Michael, take this on.
Yes. In my view, it does not. One of the points that the court in Ontario made is that all law schools in Canada that are currently accredited provide equal access to all applicants. There's no consideration as to a person's religious background, racial background, sexual orientation. You're free to go to any law school you wish of all of the law schools in the country. But the way the court phrased it is that no current accredited law school that has any policy that discriminates in terms of who may apply or enter that school has accreditation, and that Trinity Western University is seeking an exception to that, and they're not entitled to it.
Well, Barbara does bring up an interesting point, though. So that trumps religious rights.
Well, no, in the sense that the person is free to go there if they wish. It just means
you just can't practice law.
Just can't practice law if you choose to go there. That's correct.
Okay. Well, would you consider this blockbuster events that are happening in Canada surrounding this?
They are very important events, and this is a long battle. It's sort of in the direction of reducing discrimination against a group which has historically faced and still faces serious discrimination. We've seen related issues in the United States being debated and decided upon. Only last week did the U.S. Supreme Court find that gay marriage would be lawful in all U.S. states. So this is a group of people who have been historically disadvantaged and discriminated against. And in my judgment, this is an important step in the direction of saying no to this sort of discrimination. The law school here, or the proposed law school here, of course, has a choice. They are free to amend their covenant so that they would no longer seek to discipline or expel students or fire staff who might be in a relationship other than between a man and a woman who are married. No one has any, or no reasonable person in my view, would suggest that there's any problem with teaching religious studies. There's no inquiry into the religious background of prospective students or applicants for membership in any law society. That would be outrageous. The concern is not with respect to the religion of anyone who wishes to become a lawyer, nor is there any concern with respect to the religious views of professors or other members of the institution. The direct concern here is that this school wishes or has a policy to that provides for the discipline or expulsion of people who engage in any intimate activity other than between a man and a woman. So that means that if you go there and you're involved in an intimate relationship that doesn't meet that criteria, you're subject to being expelled. And the view of the majority of the benchers of the Law Society in Ontario, in their view, that was it would be contrary to the public interest to grant their approval to a university that wishes to operate in that way. And insofar as they continue to operate with that policy, they are not, they have no right to demand approval from the Law Society in Ontario.
What reverberations might be felt in other sectors based on this ruling?
Well, I would hope that it, first of all, sends the clear message that that sort of discriminatory policy is unacceptable, and that if you engage in that sort of conduct and then you go seeking the discretionary approval of others, you may not get it.
We're going to take a quick break. Don, hang on to your thoughts. Your call's up first. We're with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson here on Legally Speaking. Stay with us.
Email. Talk at CFAX1070.com. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. Traffic got you down. We'll get you up and going with more traffic more often. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
It's Petra at Thrifty Foods, and I'm proud we picked BC first. Today, I'm here to talk about our friend Donna Dennison, founder of Little Creek Dressing, located in the beautiful Okanagan. Donna's love for the dressing she makes is apparent in everything she does. In fact, she even puts hearts on every box of dressing because she believes this positive symbol makes her dressings taste even better for her customers.
Thrifty Foods. We pick BC first because local matters.
Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time to upgrade your appliances with the KitchenAid built-in savings event at Lansdowne Appliance Gallery. Buy one or two qualifying KitchenAid appliances and save 15%. Buy three or four and save 20%. Buy five or more and save a whopping 25%. Hurry, this offer won't last long. The KitchenAid built-in savings event. On now at Lansdowne Appliance on the corner of Douglas and Kings and at lansdowneappliance.com.
Hi, it's Tom. What was your address again? Huh, that's where I am. I thought I was at the wrong place. No, I'm on your roof, and it's in good shape. You're at least 5 years from needing it replaced. You're very welcome.
Sometimes you don't need a new roof. And if that's the deal, Ariel Roofing will tell you.
I'm Tom Williams, owner of Ariel Roofing. We're honest about roofing. For a free estimate, get in touch at arielroofing.ca.
If you have fog on the inside of your thermal pane window, it means the seal is broken. Call First Response Glass. They'll replace it quickly and easily.
Stupid window, come on! Get off of it, come on!
Hassle-free, First Response Glass.
Get off!
Fixes it.
Choose Natural Factors Whey and Vegan Protein, where great health begins. Natural Factors proteins are beneficial for everyone, not just high-performance athletes. They provide heart health benefits, enhance immune function, and boost overall nutritional well-being. Whey Factors and Factors Vegan Protein are available at The Vitamin Shoppe, where the price is always right and the service is excellent. Ask for your $2.50 coupon when you purchase Whey and Vegan Protein at The Vitamin Shoppe, 1212 Broad Street and CanadianVitaminShop.com.
What can a licensed professional from Houle Electric do for your home or business? Upgrades, adds, moves, changes of panels, sockets, rewiring, testing, troubleshooting, preventative maintenance, repairs, inspection, renovation, and much more. All Houle Electric technicians are licensed professionals. They're constantly upgrading and they're bonded, so you can feel comfortable with them in your home. Find Houle on Facebook, Twitter, and at www.houle.ca.
Ooh, electric, that's Houle.
Improve your health, your fitness, and your life. Weekend Wellness with Brittany King. Saturdays at noon on CFAX 1070. Your voice, your time. It's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. Court upholds Law Society's decision not to accredit Trinity Western University. That's the headline right now. And to the phones as promised. And Dawn, thanks for waiting. You're on CFAX.
Oh, no problem on the wait, Pamela. Good morning. And good morning to your guests. I look at it as the Law Society is somewhat of a gatekeeper who gets in and who's not allowed in. And that authority may be challenged. And I suspect the governments of the day will challenge that sort of authority eventually, given the growth of our social acceptance to, the gays and the non-gays, so to speak. But it does lend itself, in my view, that family now can be a man, woman. It can be two women or two men. But I do think the next phase in this sort of argument is going to be wide open, and that's based on the history of the decision process here. So what I'm suggesting to you is, given that the argument is being set up, or the base is being set up, there's no, as I see it, argument against having two men and one woman, or three women or three men. What I'm trying to suggest is any group of people that presents themselves, they wish to become a family, be married, then they need to be recognized with all the benefits and responsibilities of what I would call the old age style of having a man and a woman.
Mm.
So it's, what would you say? This is just a tiny step, but I do challenge the argument that the Law Society are the gatekeepers. I think the next phase is that they will no longer have the authority as they once had eventually, but this will take some time, and I suspect this case is going to go to the Supreme Court to, what would you say, take a little bigger step, but it is a process.
Thanks, Don.
I was wondering, if the lawyer there could comment.
You bet. Michael Mulligan.
Well, one thing to be pointed out here, and this is, I think, an important point the court made, is it said, look, while much attention in the case was directed to the discriminatory effects of TWU's community covenant on the LGBTQ persons, the reality is that the discrimination inherent in the community covenant extends not only to those persons, but also to women generally, to those persons of any gender who might prefer, for their own purposes, to live in a common law relationship rather than engage in the institution of marriage, and to those persons who have other religious beliefs. Now, I think the court was quite right. One of the other impacts of this policy of the school, which prohibits any intimate sexual activity except between a man and a woman who are married, is that if you are an unmarried woman who becomes pregnant while attending Trinity Western University or while working there, you face the prospect of expulsion. One of the reports I had while working on this issue in British Columbia was a person, a woman, who was attending there and became pregnant and was expelled. So it would leave a woman who became pregnant while attending Trinity Western University, if they were not married to a man, they may have the unenviable choice of an abortion or the risk of expulsion. So this policy, the discriminatory policy of this institution, has broad implications. Now, in my judgment, the approach that some law societies have taken to this, including in British Columbia and Ontario, is completely appropriate. They're applying a test of whether granting their approval to this institution would be in the public interest. And the decision is not, importantly, not with respect to a particular applicant. There is no assessment as to whether, there's no assessment of somebody's religious views or some applicant on that basis. That would be improper and outrageous. What's being assessed here is whether the Trinity Western University, so long as it has this discriminatory policy, is entitled to approval or accreditation by the Law Society.
Mm-hmm.
And some law societies, including in Ontario and here, have said no.
Okay, let's bring Margaret into the conversation. Hi, Margaret. You're on CFAX.
Yeah, hello, Pamela and you guys. I think the one thing that really concerns me about this type of law school is it's not them, being able to do and have the free will to do what they want, but to think of the people that they would be representing that they couldn't do in all good conscience if they went down this road.
Michael.
Well, that's an interesting thing, and it's we had a previous case in British Columbia which involved this school wanting to set up a teacher's college, and that case wound up the teacher's college in British Columbia refused accreditation as a result of concern about the same policy. But the way they dealt with it was a little different because of what their statutory authority was. They were looking at it from the point of view of whether a person who went to this Trinity Western would behave improperly as a teacher simply because they went to the school, because that was the limit of what they were allowed to consider under their statutory authority. That approach was rejected by the Supreme Court of Canada, and I think properly so, in the sense that in my judgment, the fact that you go to a school which may have a discriminatory policy doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to act in a discriminatory way. You may act in an entirely proper fashion. And I would have a different view of this if the question to be asked was, should somebody who went to this school be allowed to practice law? And the fact that you went to the school would simply not translate into the idea that you're going to be biased. You may be an excellent lawyer and entirely fair. But that's not what's being asked. What's being asked of the law societies is to accredit or approve this institution. So that's why the law societies, in my judgment, are properly assessing, should we approve or accredit an institution which has this policy which is discriminatory and offensive? And the answer to that question is a different one from the one or different conclusion you should come to than if you're asking the question, just because somebody went there, are they going to behave improperly? I don't think those necessarily are connected in any way.
But then why, it does seem that, I mean, by not establishing this law school, if that doesn't happen, that people who want to go there that wouldn't discriminate upon graduation would be in turn discriminated against.
Well,
by virtue of that, the
people that might choose to go there are, of course, free to go to any law school anywhere in the country. All of the other approved law schools in the country, none of them have the sort of discriminatory policy that this proposed school has. So if you wish to go to the University of Victoria or the University of British Columbia, nobody cares what your religious views or lack of religious views might be. Those just aren't relevant considerations.
What if you go to, I'm just going to put this out there, a U.S. college with the same similar religious policies, and you come back to Canada and do your law degree here?
That's a superb question. There are universities in the United States that have policies similar to the proposed ones at Trinity Western University. And the different law societies deal with that in a different way. But the essence of it is that if you go to a foreign, at least in British Columbia, if you go to a foreign law school, you would need to, in every case, apply individually to determine whether you've got an appropriate educational background to be admitted to practice law here. And the law society would be concerned only with things like, you know, do you have technical competence? Have you taken all the appropriate courses? This sort of thing. And that wouldn't present any particular barrier to practicing law here. And in my judgment, that's appropriate. Simply because a person went to a school that may have odious policies doesn't mean that those are that person's views, or even if they might hold that view, that they're going to more importantly act in some inappropriate way. So you can, in fact, go to a U.S. religious school that may have policies like these ones, and you would still be free to come and apply for a membership to practice law in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm. Where do we stand with the case that's being heard in British Columbia? When are we going to hear?
The case in British Columbia is being argued here, I think, in just a few weeks, so it's imminent. So the timing of this case from Ontario is an interesting and important one. There was a similar case argued in Nova Scotia, I should say, and they came to a different decision. So we're going to see the outcome in British Columbia very soon.
Fascinating stuff and breaking news. Thanks so much for bringing that to us this morning.
Thank you.
Michael Mulligan of Mulligan.